From Spark and Anvil and Quillspell, this is Saga and Birch, in Chapter 1 of the Quillspell cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The word library at Quillspell was really two libraries pretending to be one, and everyone who worked there had quietly picked a side. On the near shelves lived Birch's words, which were short, sturdy, everyday things, worn smooth by a thousand years of ordinary mouths. They were words like hand, foot, and walk. And Birch himself was very much like the stones he cataloged. He was solid and unshowy, a homebody in a knitted wool jumper that smelled faintly of wood smoke. He had never once left the valley, and he did not especially want to. Birch liked a word you could say with both feet planted flat on the ground. On the far shelves, where the draft from the high windows blew coldest, lived Saga's words. These were the words that had arrived on longships a very long time ago. They were sharp, wind-bitten words, like sky, gift, and take, carried across the sea by people who lived by the blade. Saga wore a heavy woolen traveling cloak even indoors, its hem frayed from years of pacing the cold stone floors. She told stories about the gray northern sea as though she had sailed it herself. She had not, of course, but her words had, and that was close enough for Saga. The two librarians were friendly enough during their brief morning greetings, but they rarely crossed the center aisle. They simply did not believe that their two collections had anything of importance in common.
The trouble started on a Tuesday, which was the day designated for the weekly shelf dusting. Ren sat at the heavy oak table in the middle, trying to ignore them both. Ren was 12 years old, and spelling was currently the absolute bane of their daily existence. Every single word in Quillspell seemed to operate by its own stubborn, impossible rules. Birch was sorting through a basket of river-smoothed stones, each one carved with a single word. He stopped sorting, holding a flat gray pebble up to the flickering lantern light for a closer look. His thick, bushy eyebrows drew together in a deep, puzzled frown.
"These are shelved entirely wrong," Birch said, his low voice sounding like dry gravel sliding down a hill. He walked over to Saga's cluttered desk, holding out a smooth stone that read, "Skirt."
"This is quite clearly one of yours," he said, tapping the carved letters. "It has that sharp northern sound right on the front, that unmistakable sk."
Saga looked up from her leather-bound ledger, her silver bracelets clinking in the quiet room.
"And what of it?" she asked, arching an elegant eyebrow at him.
"And I found it filed directly next to one of my own stones," Birch said. He laid a second, darker stone flat on the polished wood of the table. This one was a piece of dark slate, carefully carved with the word "shirt."
Saga drifted over from her desk, her long traveling cloak swishing softly against the dusty floorboards. She stared down at the two stones lying side by side on the oak table. "Shirt. Skirt." A strange, cold prickle went straight up the back of her neck. It was the eerie feeling you get when a total stranger turns around and has your mother's eyes. "Birch," she said very slowly, never once taking her eyes off the two stones. "Say your word out loud, and say it very slowly for me." Birch frowned in confusion, his rough thumb tracing the carved letters on his slate. "Shirt," he said, his voice dropping into the quiet room. Saga reached out and touched her own graystone. "Skirt," she whispered, her voice matching his rhythm. They stared at each other across the wide expanse of the table. If you took away the tiny difference at the very front, the words were practically identical. His soft sh and her hard sk were just different coats on the same body. Underneath the surface, they had the same bones, the same length, and the same basic meaning. They both described a piece of cloth you pulled over yourself to stay warm. "That is simply not possible," Birch said, his voice dropping a full octave in disbelief. He distrusted anything exciting on principle, since excitement usually meant extra work.
But once they had seen the connection, they could not stop looking for it. Saga swept her ledger aside with one quick motion, clearing a wide space on the dark wood. Birch brought over his basket of homewords,
and Saga fetched her tray of sea words. They began laying them down in pairs, searching for that same prickling feeling. Birch reached into his basket and set down the stone for no. Saga searched her tray for a moment and set down nay right beside it. The moment the two stones touched, a tiny clear chime echoed through the library. It sounded like a wet finger rubbing the rim of a crystal glass. Wren looked up from their messy slate, their eyes wide with sudden interest. "Did you guys hear that?" Wren asked, leaning forward over the table. The librarians did not answer, because they were already reaching into their baskets for more stones. Birch set down the stone for Ship, his thick fingers trembling just a little bit. Saga quickly placed the stone for Skiff right beside his. Another chime rang out, deeper this time, vibrating through the wood of the table. It was clearly the very same word, split in two long ago. One copy had grown big and grand, while the other had stayed small and light. They laid down pair after pair, and the library filled with a soft, ringing chorus. Chime after beautiful chime echoed off the high, dark rafters of the room. "How is this happening?" Birch finally asked, sitting down so hard his heavy chair scraped the floor. "How are my plainest words secretly related to your fancy traveled ones?" Saga did not strike one of her usual dramatic poses this time. She looked genuinely startled, her long fingers resting lightly on the warm humming stones. "Because they started in the very same place," she said quietly. "There was once a single ancient word, older than either of our libraries," she said. "It simply left home twice, taking two entirely different paths across the world. One copy stayed in the valley with your people and softened into shirt. The other copy sailed north with my people and hardened into skirt." She touched the two stones, which were still vibrating with a faint warmth. "They are not strangers who happen to look alike," she whispered. "They are family members who got separated by the sea a long time ago."
Wren slid off their wooden bench and came over to stand at the edge of the table. They leaned over, chin resting on their hands, staring at the paired stones. The stones looked entirely different, but they hummed together with the exact same pitch. "So if I get stuck spelling one of them," Wren said, "can I just look at its twin?" Saga smiled warmly at the student, her eyes bright with a sudden sharp excitement. "Try it," she said, sliding a blank stone toward the middle of the table. "You always try to spell skirt with an E at the end, or so Birch tells me." Wren flushed a dusty red, looking down at the toes of their leather boots. "It just sounds like it should have an E on the end," Wren muttered defensively. Saga slid the dark stone for shirt right next to the blank, uncarved one. "Look closely at the family spelling on Birch's stone," Saga said. "How does his word handle that tricky vowel sound in the middle?" Wren squinted down at the carved letters on the dark slate. "It uses the letters I and R," Wren said. "Exactly right," Saga said, tapping the table. "So how should you spell your northern word?" Wren picked up the chalk and carefully wrote S-K-I-R-T on the blank stone. The moment the chalk lifted, the stone gave a high, sweet chime. The carved letters glowed with a soft blue light, then settled permanently into the gray rock. Wren grinned, running a thumb over the fresh, smooth indentation of the carving. "The correct spelling was basically hiding in the cousin the whole time," Wren said. "That is the real beauty of them," Birch said, his chest puffing out slightly. He looked down at his plain little words with a sudden, quiet pride. "You do not have to memorize two entirely different, difficult spellings," he explained. "If you learn the family connection, both of them come to you for free." Saga laid her hand over the two humming stones, her rings catching the light. "They are a perfectly matched pair," she said. "They share one root, but they travel down two very different roads. In the oldest books of grammar, we call these words doublets. She smiled down at the stones. They are the words that are secretly identical twins under their different clothes.
Later that evening, the high windows of the library dimmed to a deep twilight blue. Wren had gone home, leaving a neat stack of correctly spelled stones on the bench. The wind outside was rising, rattling the loose glass panes in the high, arched windows. Saga and Birch sat together at the sorting table, a single lantern between them. The paired stones still sat on the dark wood, holding a faint, lingering warmth between them. Birch picked up Shirt, turning it over and over in his broad, calloused hands. "I always felt a bit plain and boring next to you," he admitted softly. "Your words had actually been places, while mine just stayed home in the dirt." He stared down at the small, smooth stone resting in his calloused palm. "It is strange to realize they are the very same words after all," he said. "It is like finding out your cousin on the farm has your exact face." Saga smiled, and for once, it was a real smile, not a performance. "I felt the opposite," she said, pulling her cloak tighter around her shoulders. "I thought my words were only special because they had traveled so far across the sea. Now I see they are just your sturdy words wearing slightly different coats," she said. She reached out and touched the edge of his wooden sorting tray. "I do not feel any less important because of it," she said. "In fact, I think I just feel much less alone in this drafty place." Birch nodded slowly, his heavy shoulders relaxing for the first time all day. The library felt much smaller now, and far warmer than it had that morning. Outside, the cold wind blew from the north, but the draft did not seem to reach them. They sat together in the quiet comfort of people who had just discovered they were family. "Long-lost cousins," Birch said, a small, rare smile finally touching his mouth. "It is a very nice thing to be, after all this time." And for the first time in 1,000 years, both sides of the library agreed completely.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Saga and Birch. Released under Creative Commons BY-NC-SA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.